make our beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayers and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Do you ever get to sit down? Okay, go ahead. Standing can be painful. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That the glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faith, fullness meet. Righteousness will go before him.
And make his footsteps aware.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness that we may love and serve our neighbor through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is recorded in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him, said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abimelech, who shall appoint the prophets in your place. And one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, which shall also serve at least in part for the sermon text for today, is recorded by St. Paul in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, selected verses. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing all the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things of like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Leave the dead to bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those of my house. Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We speak our confession using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. I love that hymn. When it comes right down to it, I'm one of those old-time, flag-waving, proud-to-be-American Christians. And that's not all bad. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Tossed in amongst the celebrations like Flag Day, Juneteenth, next week, the 4th of July, and other patriotic holidays all echo a familiar theme: freedom. The freedom America has traditionally celebrated has, as part of its history, some great tokens, great reminders, like the Constitution, the Liberty Bell, and that grand old flag, Old Glory, and things like the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Sadly, these treasures have lost some of their patriotic significance lately. Individual rights, cultural background differences, or groups rallying around their chosen causes. Well, these things, including governors and legislators who are totally divided along political agendas, these are the things that threaten our liberty, everyone's liberty, everyone's freedom. Seems we've forgotten that there's a difference between our right and the power to do something and the moral responsibility that God intended to guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. We risk shrinking freedom down to our right to act freely, which we have, versus the moral responsibility that we also have. Now, the Galatian churches were facing just a very similar problem in the text for today. Christians risked abandoning the freedom that God gives through Jesus Christ in the gospel of forgiveness, of freedom. It's not the sin-weakened human power to do whatever we want, whenever we want, without consequence. It seems that everywhere St. Paul preached the gospel, challengers called Judaizers followed to corrupt the freedom God supplies with slavery to the old ways, slavery to, well, useless traditions of men. The flesh looks for simple rules. It's easier to follow a rule than it is to think for yourself. Traditions that sin-weakened people cannot abide or fulfill on their best day. These things can't satisfy. So the Judaizers tried to twist salvation from freedom to slavery. Galatians 2, verse 4, pinpointed the source of the problem. And Paul wrote, "This matter arose because some false teachers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus to make us slaves." Now, he was writing to Christians, to brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God. He wasn't writing to those false believers who insisted the way to heaven was through rules, laws, and traditions. That's what St. Paul calls slavery. Trying to earn salvation by doing things our way rather than through God's way of trusting and knowing Jesus Christ for our forgiveness, our salvation, and our freedom. St. Paul was writing to deceivers who wanted to take power over the children of God. And St. Paul was writing of the deadly effects that that teaching could give, could bring about. I hasten to add, being good isn't bad. Being right isn't wrong. That's not the case at all. But St. Paul writes, "We have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Justified. Just as if I'd been right on my own. We are not right on our own. See, the word freedom used to carry with it an association of responsibility and duty. Whether that be social freedom, religious freedom, political or philosophical freedom, true freedom is more than the ability to do as one wills. Freedom has many parts, most important parts. Not just the ability to act, but reflection, restraint, and responsibility that comes along with that freedom. God's Ten Commandments, I remember my dad telling me this a few years ago. A few more than a few years ago. He said the Ten Commandments are like a 10-sided corral. All the livestock inside that corral is blessed and loved and cherished and in a right relationship with God. But stick one toe outside that corral and you have sacrificed the freedom. You have jeopardized the love that God has. Oh yeah. I remember that lesson. And all believers since, all flesh has stumbled blindly and imperfectly through life since Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, if you think being a sinner is unique, it's not. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. Sin just kicks down the corral. It turns everyone away from God, away from freedom. Our chains bind us to our guilt. Chains of sin hold us out of heaven. Thank God that Jesus Christ, for freedom, set us free. Power to overcome sin. That's God's gift of freedom. In Jesus Christ, sin has been removed. Not covered up. Removed. You stand truly right with God in Christ. So St. Paul's critics and any true believers, the apostle said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Like a godly father in a Christian home, he knows his family is Christ's family. He knows his house is God's house. He knows his children really belong to Christ. for freedom. God has set them free. The gospel of forgiveness in Jesus is God's gift of freedom from the burden of sin, from the fear of divine judgment. St. John records this beautiful summary of Jesus in John 3:16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The U.S. Constitution has lost a little bit of the punch that the founding fathers penned into it. The Liberty Bell, well, it cracked pretty much in the first ringing and has never really sounded that tone for which its craftsmen intended it. An Old Glory. The American flag, its crowned Capitol buildings, its proudly led significant parades, it's been draped over the coffins of men and women who, as Lincoln said, gave their last full measure of devotion. And that flag waves for freedom everywhere. And I was President John Adams said in 1798, a little before I learned from my father what our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. Indeed, the beliefs of the founding fathers were clear. Our government was designed for responsible, freedom-driven citizenry. Not everyone doing his own thing, his own way, but doing things God's way and serving one another out of love. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Jesus didn't set us free to satisfy self-serving passion. Christian liberty, whether it's in the home, in the church, in the country, is perfect freedom, a gift from God within the highest moral and ethical standards, inside a wonderful, free-giving corral. Faith in Jesus is God's gift. So any diminished understanding of liberty is the root of a lot of our social unrest. People seem to be losing belief in the duties of citizenship, of the inherent social contract we have with our neighbor. Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, so be free. Serve one another humbly in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Jesus' bride, the Holy Christian church, your family of believers, a loving body of Christ on earth. It's not an assembly of perfect people. For Pete's sake, don't look for that here or anywhere else. It's a community of forgiven sinners set free to be free. And real freedom is the same for church, for home, for country. It's God's gift to you, to be shared and cherished. Amen. We pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of our salvation, when your Son set his face to go to Jerusalem on the cross, his zeal would not be deterred. Grant us to pray with the same fervor and boldness, trusting that you hear us for the sake of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the Church, you give pastors and church workers to proclaim your steadfast love, to announce freedom from the yoke of slavery to sin, and to point all toward the cross of Christ. Bless their faithful work, that their labor in the Lord may never be in vain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, you established the family to be the place of protection and growth. Grant that our homes would never become a stumbling block to the kingdom of God, but that they would serve to foster within us the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all power and might, to you belong the kingdom and the glory forever. Give insight and wisdom to our president, governor, legislator, and magistrates. Direct them to punish evildoers, reward the righteous, and strive for peace. Grant that Christians may live quiet and peaceable lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of refuge, your salvation draw near to all who trust in you. Grant peace to your people and show us your salvation. Hear our petitions for healing, strength, and comfort. For all those people for whom we have concerns of wealth, of wellness, of wholeness, of peace within, and for all for whom we pray. Be near them as the refuge of the weary and the God who preserves his people. And Lord, in your mercy, God of holiness, in this heavenly food and drink, you graft into our hearts the love of your name. As you create new hearts within us, bless us with the fruit of the Spirit, that our love for you might be expressed for our neighbor's good. Lord, in your mercy, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant that the whole church might fix her eyes on him. Teach us the way of the cross. Remove hindrances and distractions. Do not let the freedom we have in this gospel become an excuse for sin and vice, but an opportunity for love and service. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin, death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all your sins." May the eating and drinking of this true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.